It's a day of celebration for them, the day to celebrate their dad and the wonderful influence their dad has been in their lives. Some of us didn't have very good fathers, and so it can be a hard day. Some of us want to be fathers but aren't, and that can be hard. So I know there's a lot of mixed emotions out there, but to those who are fathers, I just want to say thank you. I feel like at church, a lot of times what happens is you get beat up from the pulpit on Father's Day. Like, come on, men, you got to be better. You know, you hear that a lot. But I just want to encourage you guys. Dads, you play a huge role in your kids' lives. Massive. And, you know, I was thinking, even in Scripture, there's not a lot of good examples of dads, is there? You know, like, even men who love the Lord often failed a lot of times as fathers. But they stand in stark contrast to our Heavenly Father, who is good. And regardless of our experience with our earthly fathers, you can know the love of your Heavenly Father, who is perfect and good, like that song we sang. I was thinking about Luke 15 with the prodigal son, the way the father responds to his son. His son basically said, you're as good as dead to me. Give me my money. And left. And yet the father loved him. It was like he was waiting for him to come back every day, just looking. And as soon as he saw him, he ran to him. That's the kind of love our God has for us. I was also thinking about Jesus' baptism. When he's baptized and the Spirit descends upon him, and the Father speaks out of heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I heard it, and it's always stuck with me, that was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It was before he had done anything at all, before he had done any works, any miracles, any teachings. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What a picture of grace, isn't it? That it's not by our works, not because of who we are, that God loves us, but because of who he is. And before we do anything, he loves us. And the last thought, and then we'll move on to the sermon. So a little mini sermon before the sermon. But I just want to encourage you guys, if dads, kids, if you haven't, dads to your kids, if you haven't told them that you love them, if you haven't told them that you're proud of them, do that today. And kids, if you haven't told your dad that you love him, do that today. Because I lost my dad when I was 16 from a massive heart attack. It was completely a surprise. I am one of the lucky ones where my last words to my dad and him to me were, I love you. That's not always the case. And it was God, because I was going to leave. I was a teenager, you know, I wanted to get out of the house. I was going with my girlfriend at the time, and I took money from him, like a teenager does, right? I took money and I was going to go. And my girlfriend was like, why don't you go tell your dad that you love him? I was like, no, I was arguing with her. She's like, come on, do it. And so I went back and told him that I love him. And I'm so glad that she made me do that. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Tell your dad, tell your kids you love them. 1 John 5, here we go. We're going to be in verses 14 and 15. Yeah, we're only doing two verses today again, so yes. Have you ever struggled to have confidence in prayer? Yeah? Okay, so I'm not alone. And maybe if you've struggled to have confidence in prayer, maybe your confidence has been affected by your feelings or emotions. Have you ever experienced that? You might be feeling good about your performance as a Christian, right? So you think, yeah, God really hears me now. But then, on the other hand, you might have messed up. You might not have been so faithful lately, and you might be feeling, well, I wonder if he actually hears me, because I'm not worthy. Why would he hear? I'm far from perfect. and I don't deserve this, and he probably doesn't even want to give it to me. Anyone else have those thoughts come through in prayer? Or sometimes our confidence is affected by how we perceive our experience. Because maybe you pray, and maybe you've been experiencing a lot of no's to your prayers, or a lot of weight. And as we experience those no's and the weight, sometimes it starts to feel like God just doesn't hear me, right? Why do I pray? He doesn't answer. Or sometimes you pray for something and you get an answer, but it's not quite what you asked for, right? So you feel like God doesn't hear. I just want to say, I don't think we're alone in that experience, right? In our passage today, John is going to teach us about confidence in prayer. How do you pray so that God hears? And I feel like in the scriptures that we're looking at, there's five principles we can take from this that we're going to look at. One is confidence. Two, that it's prayer is before him. Prayer that he hears is before him. Three, we have to ask. Four, we can ask anything. And five is according to his will. And John says, if we do this, God hears us. And if he hears us, we have what we ask for. So let's read it. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It's just a short little piece of scripture here. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Well, let's pray. Father, I think it's apt that we pray before we look at this scripture about prayer. Give us insight. Give us wisdom. Lord, prepare our hearts so we can receive this word, that we would implement it in our lives. I think if we're honest with ourselves, many of us would say, as we examine our prayer life, I could grow there. And I pray that today, in what we hear, we could grow as a result. And we'd look more like your son. But we're also asking, Holy Spirit, that you would teach and you would speak and you would lead us into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, I know there's a very obvious interpretation of this, and we'll get to that. But as I was looking at this, God was pointing stuff out to me almost in every word. I just felt like this was very meaningful scripture. And he starts, it says, and this is the confidence. And that first principle of prayer that is heard and therefore answered is confidence. And you might be like, what? Weren't we just talking about how we struggle with confidence in prayer? So you're telling me that I have to have confidence in prayer in order to be confident in prayer? What? Yes, that's what I'm saying. And let me explain. He starts with that word, and. It's a little word, but it's important. And. Which connects it to the last thought. And what was the last thought? In verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. In order that you may know that you have eternal life. What does that sound like? Confidence. That you may know. That's confidence. Our confidence in prayer is born out of our confidence in our salvation. Our confidence in prayer is born out of our confidence in our salvation, that we know that we have eternal life. Because if we really, truly know that we have eternal life, and that we have life because we have the Son of God, if we really understand that, then we will know and understand all that that entails, all that that really means, all that comes with our salvation. We are going to know the righteousness that is ours in Christ because we have the Son and we have eternal life. And we're going to know the access that we have to our Heavenly Father as His children because we've been adopted and we're loved in the Beloved. And we're going to know that we have an intercessor with our Father, one who stands between us and Him. And there is only one God and one intercessor, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to know our intercessor, our high priest. And therefore, we're going to have boldness and confidence to come to Him in prayer. And that's what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. He says, since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence, boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and might find grace to help in time of need. We can have confidence in prayer because we have eternal life. We have the Son. He is in us by His Spirit, and we are in Him, He says. That is the confidence that we have. And that confidence is in Christ, not ourselves. I think we often struggle with confidence in prayer because we're looking at ourselves. So when we hear, in order to be confident in prayer, you need to be confident. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes I think, well, I'm toast, right? That's it. But it's not about confidence in ourselves. It's not a fake it till you make it kind of thing. This is confidence in Him, not in us. And notice also, John says, this is the confidence which we have. We have it. We have this confidence. The confidence is ours already. It's not earned. It's in Christ. We have confidence because He earned it. We're heard and we have confidence because He is worthy. We have confidence because of His piety and His righteousness and His holiness that has now been imputed to us and is shared with us by faith. We have confidence because He paid the price. We have confidence because of His blood. We have confidence because of His victory. Do you think Jesus was ever not heard by the Father? He was always heard. And it's confidence in Him because He's given that to us by faith. We have confidence because He intercedes for us and because He is good and because He loves us. We have confidence because of Him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's our defense. He's our Savior. He's our high priest, our intercessor. And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says that in Him all the promises of God are yes and amen. That's where our confidence comes from. So when we say or when we think in prayer, I'm not worthy, well, no, you're not, but He is. When we say or think, why would God listen to me? I'm not perfect. Well, no, you're not. And neither is anybody else, but He is. When you think, I don't deserve this. No, you don't. But He does. These things I've written to you, John says, who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before Him. We stand in the confidence of who Christ is and what he has done when we come to prayer. And that should be first and foremost in our minds. It's not about us. It's not about our worth. We're not coming by our merit. We're coming by the merit of the perfect Son of God. Amen. We are the most privileged and blessed people of all time in Christ. And in him, we have unlimited access to the Father. Jesus' access to God is our access. And we can be confident in that when we pray. So that's the first principle, confidence. And then he says, and this is the confidence which we have before him. And that stood out to me as I was studying, before him. That's the second principle to prayer that is heard, that our prayer is before him. When we pray, we are before him. You might be thinking, well, isn't he everywhere? So everything is before him? Sure, yes, if you want to be technical about it. But our prayer is before him in a much greater sense. You know, I was thinking about this psalm, Psalm 141, verse 2. I love this because it just shows the intimacy that's there in prayer and how David thought about it. He says, may my prayer be counted as incense before thee, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. We'll get to the symbolism there. I also want to read this, Revelation 5:8. Seen in heaven, it says, when he had taken the book, Jesus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So in Scripture, our prayers are equated with incense. We don't maybe fully get this significance as Protestant Christians, but in David's day and in John's time, for the Jews, in the temple, there were certain things in the temple, right? And the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, and there was the veil, and right outside of the veil was what? The altar of incense. And on the altar, God told the priests to burn continually a specific type of incense, always. It was only to be burned there, nowhere else. They were never to use it for anything else. So when David says, may my prayer be counted as incense, when Revelation says that the prayers of the saints are like incense, it's that picture that our prayers are going up before him continually. And that incense, it smelled wonderful, what it was made of. It was a soothing, sweet aroma. And the cool thing is, in the Jewish times, in the temple, there was a veil there, right? What happened when Jesus died on the cross? The veil was torn. And now our prayers, that incense, goes freely into the Holy of Holies before the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the throne of God. Our prayers are like a sweet aroma drifting up continually before him in the place that he dwells, in his very presence, in his throne room. I put up Ezekiel 1, Revelation 4. We're not going to read them, but both of those have descriptions of the throne of God. And when you read it, it's crazy. It's an awesome scene. It's beautiful. The angels crying day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come on a sea of glass. The rainbow, the emerald rainbow, we can't even fully understand it, picture it, see it. But this is where we go when we pray. Do we understand that? When John says that this is the confidence which we have before him, when we pray, we don't just talk into the air. We should remember that we're talking to God the Father by the Spirit through Jesus Christ. We are addressing God Almighty on his throne. Do we picture that when we pray? Is it wrong to say we should visualize that? I know that's like a buzzword, right? Visualize. I'm not talking about visualizing something to make it happen. It's a reality already. We just need to be aware of it. Do you think that might change our prayers a little bit? You know, some of us, we enter, I shouldn't say some of us, I do this too. I enter his presence flippantly. You know, people, it's almost like cool or trying to be like, oh, hey, God, you know. But we're coming before God in his throne room. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, glorious one. I mean, people who actually see this, who have these visions, Ezekiel, flat on his face. John, flat on his face, as if dead. And God in his mercy and love has to pick him up. So we are to have confidence in Christ, not ourselves, when we pray. And we are to pray before him, in his presence. God is spirit, and no one has seen him at any time. But he is not air. He is a person. He is a living being, and our prayer is before him. So John continues, he says, and this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask. And there's the third principle I saw in this. The third principle to prayer that is heard is we have to ask. He says, if we ask, if, conditional, we have to ask. I wonder how much is not given because we do not ask. How many times in the Gospels did Jesus say to people when they came up to him, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He made them ask and tell him, make the request. He did it over and over. And what did he tell us about prayer? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. What a wonderful thing. Ask, seek, knock. A-S-K. Ask. About anything and everything. You know, for years, before I was up here, after the sermon, I'd come up here for prayer. I can maybe count on my hands and toes how many times people have come up. And this is over the course of years. And I've always wondered, why? Why don't people come up for prayer? I know there's people hurting. I know that there's needs. Why don't we come up for prayer? And I wonder if it's because we feel like we can't ask. We feel like it has to reach a certain level of, I don't know, appropriate before we're willing to ask. We have to be dying. You know, we have to have cancer, we think. We have to have some kind of medical issue. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. We have to be in great pain before we think, I should go up for prayer. So if it's something else, we think, oh, I don't need prayer. You know, I once prayed about a haircut. I'm serious. I was in Bible college, and I was pretty poor. And my hair was getting long and really raggedy. And so I was like, God, I could really use a haircut, but I don't have the money for it. You know what? He heard, and he answered, and he provided, and I was able to get a haircut. Why would he pray about a haircut? Well, because we can ask, and we should ask. He delights to answer us, but we have to ask. So I don't know what those things are in your lives. Maybe you've been having trouble sleeping. Let's pray about it. Ask. Maybe you've been having trouble financially. Let's pray. Let's ask him about it. Maybe you're having trouble in your family. Let's pray. Let's ask him about it. Maybe you just want to grow in your relationship with God. And you've been hearing some sermons and you think, oh, I'd like that. I just pray about it on my own. No, ask. Let's pray together about it. Maybe you need wisdom in something. Ask. Do you need something? Do you want something? Let's ask. God is here for us. He's our Heavenly Father. And this next principle is related. He says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything, anything. That's the next principle, the fourth principle, the prayer that is heard. It's related to that last principle. When we ask, guess what? We can ask anything. Anything? 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 Anything. We can ask anything. He may not, you know, he may not give it, and he may not say yes. But prayer is just as much about the relationship as it is about anything. See what I did there? As I was thinking about this, it made me think about kids with their parents. Now, kids, they will ask for anything. They will. For anything. They will ask about anything and for anything. Can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? And you can say no 1,000 times, and you know what? They're going to ask for it again. And it can be infuriating, right, as parents. But we are God's children. We've been adopted. Now, I'm not saying that we should keep asking God for something that he's already said very clearly no to. I'm not saying that. But what I'm trying to get across to us, and the idea is that we should not be afraid. We should not be deterred. We should not be discouraged to ask God about or for anything. He's telling us to do it. And like a child with their parents, we should ask our Heavenly Father for anything. Even that second sweet after dinner when you haven't eaten your dinner. Because that's what kids do, right? Man, can I have another one? And you're like, you didn't even eat your food. So he may not say yes, but he might not say no either. You just don't know. And it is in the asking for anything and about everything that we grow in prayer. And we grow in our communication with God. And we grow in our relationship and our intimacy with God. And we learn about and learn to discern the final principle, which John says, that if we ask anything according to his will. This is the fifth and final principle, the prayer that is heard, that it must be according to his will. So here is the caveat to our anything. And it's the main point of the passage. It's that surface level reading, right? John says, this is the confidence which we have before him. What? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So that's the main point of the passage. And it's another place where our confidence comes from, that we are to ask of him according to his will. So I think the big question here is, if we ask according to his will and we're heard, then how do we know his will? And the best way to know his will is his word. We need to be in his word. And as we read his word, there's a lot of things that are made clear in the scriptures what his will is. We have even explicit examples, scriptures that say this is the will of God. A couple of them, just a couple of examples, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. First part of that. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you be made holy, that you be conformed to the image of Christ. that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you grow in righteousness. That is the process of sanctification, to be made holy. And he says that this is the will of God. So if you desire prayer to grow in obedience to God, you want to grow in your relationship with God, guess what? That's according to his will, and he's going to hear you, and he's going to answer that. In that same epistle, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When we give thanks to God, he hears it. And it's like a sweet aroma, incense before him. So those are some explicit examples in Scripture of God's will. We have some that are implicit, right? James 4:2. He's talking of similar things that we're reading out here in John, and he says, you do not have because you do not ask. Oh, we were just talking about that, huh? We need to ask. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So what do we learn from this? Well, according to James, having wrong motives, praying for selfish reasons, that's not according to God's will, right? There's so many examples in Scripture of God's will. It may not say this is God's will like those verses in Thessalonians, but it's pretty clear. God desires that all men should come to repentance and to a knowledge of him. When we pray for salvation for others, God hears us. God is faithful. So when John says that if we pray according to his will, he hears us, he's pointing to the faithfulness of God. God is faithful, and he cannot be otherwise. He stands by his name, and he stands by his word. If he says he will do something, he will do it, which is why we can know that if we pray according to his will, if we pray according to his word, he hears us. John 15, verse 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted to you. When it is his will, John says, he will hear. And because of that, we can have confidence in our prayers. You might ask the question, what about the stuff that's not so cut and dry, right? Like, should I take this job or that one? Well, should I buy this car or that one? Or new or used? Or should I move here or not? Should I do this or not? And some of you are thinking, do you pray about that? You pray about what kind of car you're going to buy? You're going to pray about what kind of job you're going to get? You pray about where you're going to move? Well, if you're asking that question, I think the question you should be asking is, you don't pray for those things? You don't pray about that? Isn't he supposed to be the Lord of our lives? Doesn't he care about those kinds of decisions? I think he absolutely does. And we're missing so much of what God has for us if we don't bring those kinds of things to him in our relationship. We're still living for ourselves. We're still living for our own will, and we're missing out on God's provision and what he can do in our lives. But if we do pray about those things, how do we know his will in those situations? How do you know his will about the things that aren't made clear and explicitly addressed in Scripture? The answer to that relates to the other principles that we've been going through, that we have confidence in Christ, that we are to ask about anything. And those things we don't know that aren't made clear, we should pray about it, and we should wait on him. And as we do, you know what God's going to do? He's going to teach us his will. He can correct and purify our motives if we have wrong motives, like James says. And he can guide us and teach us by the nose to our prayers and by the weights. Because with God, nothing is lost. He redeems it all. He uses it all if we're willing to let him speak to us in those things. He can correct us. He can guide us by his no's and his yeses and his waits. It's in our asking about anything and everything that we learn to discern the will of God in those less obvious applications of his will. Does that make sense? It's in relationship with him. And it's in being in his word and hearing from him and getting to know his heart. As we do that, our mind is purified, our hearts are refined. You're not going to be asking for crazy out there things when you're in his word daily, getting to know his heart and mind. And if we're asking and we're learning, we're having that communication. But if we don't ask for anything, we may never know his will in those little things. So John says, if we do these things, if we ask and come in prayer in confidence, the confidence which we have in Jesus, and if we pray as if we are really, truly before him, because we are, that's the reality, that is fact. And if we ask, and we ask anything, and it's according to his will. John says he hears us. You guys, that's amazing. God hears us when we pray. I was thinking about Psalm 8, verse 3 through 6. We don't have to read it, but it's that scripture that says, what is man that you are mindful of him? You've created the stars, the heavens, the works of your hands, declare, and yet you're mindful of him? Me? And not only that, it says that you crown him with glory and honor. He does care for us. He is mindful of us. He takes thought of us, and he hears us. So what does that mean? And in the next verse, John says, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. If he hears us, we have it. In hearing, what does he mean by hearing? Similar to before him, isn't God everywhere? Everything's before him. But doesn't God hear everything? Yeah, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he knows all, he sees all, he hears all. Yeah, sure, he hears everything. But there's a difference between hearing and hearing. You know what I mean? I think any of you who are married know what I mean. Sometimes, right, you hear what your spouse is saying, but you don't really hear. And it isn't until you sit down and you talk about it, you discuss it, maybe you argue a bit about it, but you really hear what the other person is saying. You hear and understand, you receive it, it's acknowledged, and maybe then it's acted upon. Because that's what we mean when we say, you're not hearing me, right, in a marriage? Sure, the person hears you, but they're not doing anything about it. But when you feel like they really hear you, you're doing something about it. And I think that's what John is saying, that God hears us. God hears and sees all. But to be heard by God. Do you want God to hear? What marshals the resources of heaven? John says it's our confidence in Christ, that our prayers before him, that we are asking anything according to his will, he will hear. And according to John, hearing, God hearing, is receiving. Because it's already according to his will. And it was asked in confidence. It was asked in faith and trust. And we're his child. So yeah, why would he not give it to you? We will have what he asks. We have asked for. If we know that he hears, then we know we have received. And I feel like David understood this. I want to close out just a couple verses from Psalms that have always blessed me. David's confidence in God's hearing him. Psalm 4, verse 1, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. And in verse 3 of that same chapter, Psalm 4, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. In Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2, it says, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. He hears us. Call upon him. Let's see what he does. Amen? And today, let's apply this. After the service, after worship's done, let's pray for each other. You don't have to come up. If you want to come up, you certainly can. I'll be up here. But just pray for your neighbor. What do you have need of? What do you want? What do you want to ask the Lord for? Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you haven't thought about it in a while. Maybe it's on your mind all the time. But now is the time to pray. Today is the day of salvation. Our God hears us. So let's come to him in confidence before him. Let's ask about anything according to his will. And he hears us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he's given us this access, that he tore the veil. And just as he was heard because of his piety, he's now imputed his righteousness to us. We, in your eyes, are pure. We've been washed clean, washed white by the blood of Christ. And we have confidence in what he has done. And he intercedes for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is praying night and day on our behalf. And we've been filled with your Spirit so we can have confidence before you, Lord. And it is before you that we come into the very throne room of the glorious and great and almighty God, the one and only true and living God, before whom heaven and earth melt away. And the heavens, the highest heavens, cannot contain you. Earth is your footstool. The train of your robe fills the temple. Lord, there is no one like you. Exalt our view of you and your glory, that we would pray before you in humility, but with confidence, and that we could ask. We would ask, and we would ask anything. And we'd ask according to your will, Lord. And know that you hear us. And when you hear us, we have what we've asked for. Build us up in our faith. Build us up in our prayer. May we pray like Jesus prayed. In Jesus' name, amen. Close out with a song of worship.